Well, good morning. It's good to see some familiar faces and some we've not met, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Have you had pie this past few days? When I was in elementary school, I was known for the dessert trader. Not that way. I would trade my homemade chocolate chip cookies for their sandwich, for I would rather have seconds of the main course than to go with any dessert. I'm still that way today, but I did have four pieces of pie on Thanksgiving Day, but they were as thin as the knife could cut them. How do you cover a whole chapter in the Word of God? One bite at a time. We're going to spend quite a bit of time on Romans 12, 1 and 2, as that rings loud and clear to most of us, is huge instruction for the Christian life. But let's not forget that the chapter doesn't end with verse 2. It continues on, and there's lots there. But I've titled this message, The Benefits of a Healthy Body. Isn't that proper for a couple days after Thanksgiving? Romans chapter 12. I once heard it that it should be illegal to read Romans 12, 1 and 2 without including the last verse of chapter 11. They belong together. Remember when Scripture was written, they didn't put chapters, probably didn't put periods. It was a continuation. But we have made starting and stopping points. But chapter 12 starts with an appeal from the Apostle Paul to bring our bodies to God and give them up for Him to use. But all the great reasons for doing this is found in chapter 11, verse 33. If you want to look there with me. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Because God is like this, wise, rich, great, and glorious. He's a God of love, mercy. But we are like this. Ignorant of the future, forgetful of the past, unable to control the present. That's why Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Literally, it means it's your logical service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This is why we sing the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It closes with this phrase, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's what Paul's urging us to do. He says God is interested in you bringing your body and making it available to Him. So chapter 12 now is the transition from doctrine in the previous chapters, now to practice. I want you to run a scenario with me. Have you ever been on a cruise? Some of you will say yes, and it was awesome. Some of you will say, I couldn't wait to get off it. But we went on a cruise. Sorry, tried to go on a cruise for our 25th anniversary. We got to the port, and we got a text message. Please do not come to port as the ship is not in. We will respond in 2 hours. Don't go anywhere. Don't come to port. We'll get back to you in 2 hours. This message went on for 3 days. We could not go to the beach. We could not go rent a car. We were paralyzed, waiting for the ship to come in so we could go out. And I thought, well, they'll make this 7-day cruise a 5-day or a 3-day or a 2-day, but we're going. On day 3, they canceled it. Now, we don't have a motel. We don't have any plans. What a way to spend our anniversary. But you know what we do have? Godly friends in Florida who we haven't seen in a while. Some of you remember Buck Horner. We spent almost a week with them, Buck and Bonnie, Norm Bovaire. We just had a wonderful time. But let's run a scenario. We're in this cruise ship right now. Now, this cruise is only for Christians. I am not your speaker. It's someone way more qualified because you paid to go on this cruise. And we're leaving port. And remember, this is all you can eat. So if you're a pie guy, there's plenty. 24 hours a day buffet. And we're leaving the port. And we get out a ways, and we see a small ship, boat, come up beside us. And someone jumps on board. And it brings back to me the memory of all of those ships that were being hijacked in the Indian Ocean. Remember? They were pirates. But this is different. We have nothing on board except people. Well, this fella speaks no English, but he's very agitated, and he goes after someone on board, and we don't know what they're saying. But we know it's not good. And he has guns, and we're thinking, have we been hijacked? Is this a terrorist? Is it us? Is it this person he's talking to? What's the deal? So we're on the edge of our seat, and a guy stands up, opens a briefcase, hands it to him, and this terrorist, if we will, leaves the ship, gets in his little boat, drives away. And of course, now the rumors start. What did he get? What did we give him? What happened? By the time it gets back to the end of the back of the cruise, it's $100 million. In front of the cruise, it was maybe $10 million. But this person paid for this fella to go away. What's your response? It went from shock to gratitude. Someone just bought my life. Maybe it was $10 million. Maybe it was $100 million. That doesn't matter. The price was paid. By the way, I don't even know this man who had the briefcase who handed it. What's your response? Mine is, I want to meet this guy. I want to come work for you. I owe you. You are my new best friend. Our text asks the same question. What is your response? Someone didn't write a check for you, but gave his life. What's your response? What is our reasonable service? Our answer should be this: I want to, I have to, I must live for Christ. You know, it amazes me that God would want our bodies. You know, he's specific in this passage, your bodies. Well, if your body's like mine, it's worn out. It's past its useful days. It hurts. It's not strong. But Paul's been talking about the body all the way through this section of Romans. In fact, he tells us, not only do I want your bodies, but remember about your body, it's the seat of what he calls the flesh. That antagonistic nature within each one of us that does not want what God wants. It does not want to do what God wants us to do. You see, our body is the source of temptation. Our body gets weak, fatigued. And if we're honest, most would say we have scars. We have a limited attention span. Our eyes are not like they used to be. Our ears are not like they used to be. Our energy is not like it used to be. But God wants us just the way we are. Never in Scripture does he say, get rested up. Get cleaned up. Straighten up. Fix your problems, then come to me. No, just as you are, right? Bring it. Bring that body with all of its problems. After all, God's the answer for weary and burdened people. Matthew 11:28 says, I will give you rest, right? This is your logical service or worship. Right now we're enjoying corporate worship service. But you'll never have real victory if this is your worship or your service. It needs to be ongoing. Your body can't be healthy by eating Sunday and snacking Wednesday night and getting another meal next Sunday. That's not how God designed us. We're finding out that three meals is actually worse than six. I like the sound of six. But they're not supposed to be six huge meals. We're supposed to be consuming, eating, taking in constantly. If you have cattle, or been around cattle, they just eat all day. The colder it is, the more they eat. But they think about eating. Rarely do you see them sleep. Wherever they go, they eat. That's what we're supposed to do with the Word of God. Wherever we go, on our journey, throughout our day, take in the Word of God. Meditate. But so God says, bring your body. Then there's two things I want from you. He wants us to do, but keep doing. First, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Second, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says, I urge, I appeal to you, I beg you, please do this, is what he's saying. He's not giving us a list of stay away from this. This is dangerous. Don't do this. And another list of let's check off. Did this, did this, did this. Okay. Not only is Paul pleased, God is pleased. Got it. No. Paul's saying don't be pressed into the mold of this world. Especially the way the world thinks. The pattern of this age we live in. It's a whole lot different now than it was in Paul's day, right? I don't think so. They didn't have iPhones and all this social media crap. But they had sin, and they had the world pressing Christians, trying to press them into peer pressure. You're not supposed to fit in, is what he's saying. You are to be different. Then he gives us even a stronger active approach. Transform. Renew your mind. Practice what you've read, what you've heard, what you've learned, for this pleases God. You know, renew and transform has an outcome that pleases God. I've been involved in many a home remodel, but one stands out to me. Pastor asked me to walk through his potential parsonage. Church owned it, but it was uninhabitable. This was nasty. There were raccoons leaving saying, "Don't go in there." Okay, it was that bad. And he said, "I don't want a housing allowance. I want to live within 200 yards of the church. But you tell me, can this place be saved?" Now, I'd made up my mind the answer was no before I went in. And I had another backup plan, not only no, but sell and no. And then he said this, "Would you pray? Do not talk to me today. Take 1 week." Well, I prayed. And I walked through and I said, "Lord, protect me from my own thoughts. I'm looking for the first match. I want this thing down because I'm thinking if we're going to put a parsonage here, let's start from scratch." But throughout the week, as I prayed, realized God can fix anything. This isn't just about a building. This is about a body. He does this when he saves a soul. He redeems, he remodels, he renovates. Well, then he asked me to give an honest assessment so the church could be directed in their thinking. I'm not a miracle asking or praying guy. So I just asked for wisdom. God says in his word, "Ask, I'll give you wisdom." Fast forward 23 years. This is a beautiful building, restored, debt-free, with a pastor and his family living there, 200 yards from the church. What an amazing picture. I've had men come into my life where I thought my first impression was, there's no hope. Why would we say that when God can do anything? But that's what Paul's saying. Should be and can be the outcome of our bodies. 1 Peter 15 tells us to be holy, for I am holy. But the verse before it says, be holy in all of your conduct. Do you know changed conduct is evidence of renovation, or in our passage, transformation? Let's move on as we have much to cover. Verse 3, don't over-exaggerate your importance. It says, be sober. Use sober judgment. Verse 4, there are many parts. None have the same function. That's important. And I believe in this day and age, and we have been in about 17 churches this year, many of them very small, discouraged. They have everything they need to be a fully functioning church. Now they want, and they pray for, better music, more money, more families, young people. But they have everything they need to be a healthy, functioning body. Verse 5, one body with many parts, and each is dependent upon the other. Here's some evidences of a healthy body. We already talked about a good diet. Good diet is what you take in, but also how often. Here, we can't hear the word Sunday and expect to live victorious life throughout the week. We must feed daily. But I think there's a warning and a caution to be careful what we take in too. Occasionally, we'll stop at McDonald's. But that isn't supposed to be our diet. How about exercise? James 1:22 tells us, don't be just a hearer, be a doer. So exercise, and then C, contribute. You know, the best teams, whether it's a business, a church, or an athletic team, have those who contribute. And you can see, especially on TV when you watch athletics, when there's too many stars who want to be stars, that team is dysfunctional. And I played college basketball, and I can remember we were maybe two games into my freshman year. I was just happy to have made the team. And the coach came down the sidelines murmuring, mumbling to himself, but I heard it well. Would somebody just get a rebound out there? The next time he came down, I was ready. And I said, Coach, I will get you as many as you want. You just need to put me in. Well, I never missed a game after that because I did what I heard he needed. I did not try to be a star. I did not try to score all the points. What I heard was, someone get me rebounds. And I said, how many do you want? Or, here am I. Is that your attitude? I can help my local church. Here am I, Lord, use me. Folks, let's contribute. Why does Paul want us to contribute to our church? So that each one can be a part of this healthy body. Do you know a healthy body can handle trials properly? We have physical trials. We have financial. How about relationships? Sometimes I just want to hide. People come at me with another heartbreaking life drama. That's a trial. But healthy bodies, healthy church bodies, help each other and can handle trials. But a healthy body is also able to handle victory. Some have a hard time with victory. We get puffed up. Aren't I something? Did you see what I did? But healthy bodies can handle victory. Verse 6 talks about gifts. Now, if your interpretation is that God has given a gift to you, he probably gave it to you on day one. You haven't had to practice at it. That's a gift. But if you've worked at it, you're a better host than you were 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then that's an ability. That's a desire. I think that's what we're talking about here. Not an gift that was just handed to you. Go and heal. Abilities, we all have them that differ, but he's saying use them. Verse 7, serve, sing, teach. You could even put under after that, get busy. Verse 8, if you have the gift of encouragement, keep it up. If you have the ability to earn lots of money, do you know what your gift is? It's to give liberally, cheerfully. Keep it up. And maybe you say, hey, I know someone who has the gift of annoyance. Do you know what? The Word of God has an answer for that. And it's verse 9. Let your love be sincere. Are you sick of fake news? I am. Let's make sure, as Paul is saying here, we don't have fake love. Let your love be genuine. This is a good verse to underline. Some of you may have new Bibles. Some of you may be new Christians and have never learned this trick. Mark up your Bible. Underline it. I don't want to get it dirty. Some of you put covers on your Bible so they'll last to protect them. Folks, marking up your Bible, you'll find someday it will be tears as you weep over heartbreak or you weep over joy. You'll underline verses that speak to you specifically that day you're in God's Word. You'll underline when God rebukes you. And I look at it this way. My Bible being marked up is like my truck. Every dent, every scratch has a story. There's a reason why it's there. Some I'm not happy about. Some of them I chuckle about. But I can picture where I was, why it happened. Most of them, I didn't think. But I can also picture God protecting me, his protection. Years ago, I was building a house and there was a delivery coming. I tried to cancel it, and they said, nope, truck's on its way. It was a blizzard. And I said, they'll never make that road. Never. It goes up like this. And I said, well, I've got to get there and help him unload, make sure he gets there. It's the first time. He doesn't even know where it is. I was going up this road. I had all-wheel drive. Guess what was coming down the road? The town plow. Sander first. I thought, this is going to hurt. Then I did what any intelligent person would do, run for your life. I jumped, I dove into the snowbank as this plow truck collided with my vehicle, right on the driver's door. That would have hurt. You know, when the Word of God hits you hard like that, or makes you smile, or makes you cry, highlight it. I know folks who have different color highlighters for reasons like that. Underline it. Star it. Sometimes our life verses come from the Lord beating the snot out of us over something in our life and giving us a text. Or I was able to grab that verse in a time of terrible discouragement, and this verse became very true to me. Underline. Verse 10, be devoted to one another as members of one family. I have three brothers and a sister. Now, I wouldn't say that if I was to pick them, I'd pick all of them again. And I think we all can say that, right? But that's my family. And we all have church members that we would say, that person irritates me, or whatever. We don't get to pick the members of our family, but we do get to work with them. Be devoted to one another as members of one family. His emphasis is this, putting others first. And that's easy to say, but it's actually going the steps of treating others that they are more important than myself. I need to underline that. Verse 11. Bring your A game, he says. Your energy. Serve the Lord. You really think God is pleased with passive, half-hearted, attempted Christians? Verse 12, rejoice, be patient while going through your trials, and be in constant prayer. Verse 13, practice hospitality. We have everything we need to meet each other's needs. I heard firewood. Wouldn't it be cool if there was enough firewood in that dooryard within a couple weeks for 5 years of fires? That's a church meeting a need. Practice hospitality and meet each other's needs. Verse 14 to the end, live in harmony wherever you are. You know, I can't control other people, but I can control my actions. Here's one. Rejoice when others have great news, and weep when sharing in their grief. Never repay evil for evil. I used to tell my athletes, if the bully on the other team falls down, you help him up. And they'd look at you like, you're crazy. I hope he stays down. I hope he's done for the season, right? He's the bad guy. Help him up. That's not what God wants to hear. Good. I hope he broke his ankle, just didn't roll it. Help him up. Hey, what does a healthy body look like? Muscles bulging, trim waistline? No. Ordinary people. Some of us overweight, some with bad backs, poor vision, limited hearing. But making those bodies, those lives available to God for the benefit of the bigger picture. When all those parts working together unselfishly, we're a healthy body. We're more efficient. The more I study the Bible, and I see the role of the pastor is to train and equip us. Oh, the mindset of, pastor, I want you to meet my unsaved friend. Can you help him get saved? Why am I going to church if it's not to get trained by the Word of God through the messenger, the shepherd, to help me do the work of the pastor? 1 Peter 1:15, or is it 3:15? Be ready with an answer. We need to take that to heart. If somebody walked in right now and said, How can I be saved? Would you stumble? Would you pass that person off? Well, he's really good at this. Let's take him to see. Or she has a way with. No, you be ready with an answer for the hope that is within you. That means practice. Years ago, we were speaking at a church, and this young fellow came in. He rode his bike, and he said, I don't even know why I'm here. Well, he was there for Sunday school, and he stayed for the morning service, and he said, I don't even know why I'm here. Well, we could have said, man, isn't that funny? That way it works out sometimes. You just go to church, got nothing to do. My wife said, I know why you're here. And you don't leave till after the service. I want you to talk to my husband. We went downstairs, and in 5 minutes, he realized why he came to church. He needed to get saved. Well, it's interesting because I knew I had to speak that evening, and I had prepared for the evening, and I was going to kind of rebuke the church for being lazy in my mind, and it was a challenge to get busy. And the Lord had given me about 2 a.m. this thought. Be sweet. Be graceful. Change the message. I want you to speak on the disciple-making church. And that I couldn't get it out of my mind. I'm thinking, I need a few hours rest before we travel. Well, I worked and worked, and it was easy. The pen just flowed. The scriptures came. And after lunch, I realized, here's why this message was so important to stay up all night. Change, fix, redo, for the time is now. A soul gets saved. Folks, if you're saved, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The God of all mercy. Mercy means holding back or not following through with what's deserved. That would be death. That would be hell. That would be eternal separation from God because we've all sinned. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. So if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are urged by Paul, because of the mercies of God, to dedicate your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service. Amen? But there could be someone who's never trusted Christ as Savior. You have not experienced God's mercies. And it's impossible for you to dedicate your bodies to God. Whether you know it or not, you are conformed to this world. And it's impossible to renew your mind. You cannot even begin to please God. But the good news is this, that when you trust Christ as Savior, all these benefits are yours for free. We think of starting a new job. What do we want to know? Not only the pay, but the benefits. Time off, travel, paid this, insurance, retirement, does it come with a vehicle, what gets reimbursed, what are the benefits? Can I work from home? the benefits from God are free. So I ask you, if you're unsaved, why not trust him today? You know, you don't have to tell me, you can, but you can tell someone sitting next to you, I need to be saved. And like this fella who came to church, not knowing why, in minutes, the Bible can show how you can be saved in 100% clarity of how you'll have eternal life. Well, I trust that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is familiar to you. It was the first two verses my wife learned to quote as she was saved many years ago. And it's been the dearest of verses to her ever since. I trust that's with you too. But not only Romans 12, 1 and 2, but the body. You are important. And if there's a wonder of where you should be helping, then humility would say to pastor, to a deacon, I don't feel like I'm doing much. What can I do? Now, for me, it would probably be clean the cobwebs off the top of the refrigerator because I can see them. Am I okay with that? Or did I want to be up front and be seen? That's humility. Do what's needed. Be a part of the team for benefit of the team. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it instructs us. We know that you are pleased with us some days. And other days we are selfish and we want to not do what you want us to do. Lord, may you strip that arrogant streak from us. Give us humility that we can be people that would say, I'm all in. My body is yours. I think it may be worn out, but you have said just the opposite. I can use a willing vessel. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this group that loves you, desires to serve you, desires to proclaim your word. Lord, that is doers, not just hearers. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for Pastor Tom's shepherding in this time. And we do pray for great days for him. Whatever is next, how you would use them, whether it be still here, whether it be a new church, whatever it is, we pray for your blessing. Lord, give us safety. We long to be different this week, not fit in, but Lord, may even someone come up to us and say, there's something about you, and may we be ready with an answer, as Peter, 1 Peter says, for those who ask of the hope that is within you. Thank you for giving us a reason to be encouraged. And Lord, I thank you for loving us first. It's impossible for us to choose you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.